It's great to be with you today. Pastor Arley is not with us today. His daughter got married yesterday, and he's taking a Sunday off. And I think he's sleeping still, probably. Pastor Arley asked each of the pastors to share a little bit about our story, including our life verse with you through this sermon series that we're in. I've got to admit to you that it would be much easier for me to use illustrations not about myself to share this message with you today. A little uncomfortable, it makes me a little more nervous than normal when I'm sharing with you about myself. A number of you have heard parts of my story, and many of you have lived part of my story and walked with us through some difficult times. But I want to share it with you today for two reasons. One, I want to ensure that God gets all the praise, honor, and glory for this story that you're going to hear. And two, my prayer is that my story will encourage you in your journey. I think some of the things that I've walked through may help some of you, and so that's my prayer. Before we begin, let's read the scriptural text from Proverbs chapter 3 that includes the verses that have become so special to me. This is the passage that God gave me to hold on to during a very stressful and difficult time in my life. And so if you have your Bible with you, or if you have it on a device, Proverbs chapter 3, the first 12 verses is what we're going to be reading. And if I would encourage you to mark those verses over the next few weeks. The pastors will be sharing with you some scripture that has been instrumental and important to them. And so I'd encourage you to mark those. Some of those will be some of the greatest scripture that we have in the Bible, but some ones that have spoken to us. And so I hope they'll speak to you as well. Again, if you have your Bible with you, if you have it on your device, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I'll be reading the first 12 verses, and we'll be focusing in on a couple of those. Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves. Let's pray together. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, help us today as we look at your word. Open our ears and our hearts so that we can hear from you. Speak to us this morning, Lord, as we seek to learn more about you and what it means to trust you with our whole heart. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've put a very simple outline together for you today. We won't have a lot of notes and a lot of things to fill in. My story is pretty simple. The early years is what I started with this morning, and that my story really begins when I was a boy. I grew up on a dairy farm near Williamsport. My parents made sure that we were in church literally every time the door was open, and sometimes even when it wasn't open. I remember a couple winter Sundays when we rode to church in a sled pulled by a tractor because the cars weren't able to make it up the hill to the church, and so we were literally there when the pastor wasn't and other people couldn't make it. That's just the way it was. We were in church every time that the door was open. As a young boy, I learned about the teachings and the commands of God. I was raised in an environment where obedience was demanded, obedience was valued and rewarded, and so understanding and following the commands of God was a very natural thing for me, comfortable for me to do. I also, as a child, I was probably, 8 years old, maybe 7 or 8 years old. I remember rearranging the living room furniture, and we had some of those end stands that had a second level in the back, and I would turn the end table around and put the family Bible up on the second level. And how many of you grew up with a family Bible on the coffee table or somewhere in your house? Yeah, we didn't touch the family Bible very often, Mom opened it and put weddings and anniversaries and funerals in there, but we didn't really, you didn't really manhandle the family Bible too much. And so it was a kind of a big deal, but Mom would let me do this. She'd let me take the family Bible and open it up on the end table. And I don't know about you, but I remember when I was a kid, the pulpit in our small country church had these two big round decorations on the side. And this little end table had two little round decorations on its side. And I used to grab those things and envision me being a preacher. And I used to preach to the living room furniture. I think I saved our couch a couple times. But Mom reminded me of that story later in life, but I remember that doing that as a young man. When I was 12 years old, I arrived home from school one day, and my mom had a Billy Graham crusade on television. And I walked in, and I was ready to change the channel, and she said, "Don't change that channel." I said, "Mom, I want to watch a little TV before I do my homework. Can I change it?" She said, "No, I'm listening to it, and it would do you good. Sit down and listen to Billy Graham." And so I did. I sat down and listened to the end of his message. And the things I heard Billy preaching that day helped clarify the things that I had been taught about God. And Billy was encouraging me to make a personal decision and start a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. My mom must have sensed that God was speaking to me that day. And she came into the room when Billy was sharing the gospel and giving the invitation to receive Christ. Now, he did this at the end. If you've ever seen a Billy Graham crusade, he shared the gospel message at the end of each of his messages. And I think as I was a kid growing up, I think we watched, every time Billy Graham was on TV, we watched those crusades. And so I had heard this gospel presentation many times. But that day, something was different that day. And I heard, even though I heard it many times, it was speaking to me. When he shared the invitation, Mom asked me if I wanted to pray and receive Christ. And I said that I did. And so we got down on our knees together. My mom is no longer living, but this is one of the most special memories for me. Is my mom was a praying mother. She was on her knees a lot. I would go back into her bedroom, and often I would find her on her knees with her list and her Bible, and she'd be praying. But this is one of the most special times that I remember being on her knees, because she prayed with me to receive Christ as my Savior. I'm so grateful for a praying mom and a mom who was sensitive to God. That day, I invited Jesus into my heart. And I just pointed out in your outline that it's important for children to learn about God, about His teachings, His commands, and His promises. In fact, chapter 3 of Proverbs, the first two verses said, "My son, don't forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." If you're a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, friend of a child, do what you are able to do to ensure that that child at an early age correctly learns about God and are directed to His holy scriptures. Kids Way here at Christ Wesleyan is a great tool. They provide great resources to our kids, and I encourage you to use Kids Way for your kids. They'll learn a great deal about who God is, and they'll make it personal to them. But please don't abdicate your responsibility as parents and grandparents. It is your responsibility to teach your kids about Jesus and about God. And so use the resources, but don't give up that responsibility. It's your responsibility to do that. I'm fast-forwarding through the slides, and we're going to fast-forward through my life. Fast-forward to high school. I was a good student. I graduated number 3 in my class of 300 at Jersey Shore. There were 4 of us who they asked to speak for graduation that year because we didn't really know who was going to be number 1 and who was going to be number 4. So I was a good student. I was very involved in music at school and very involved with my church. However, I've got to share with you that anger was something that I dealt with from a very early age. I especially struggled dealing with anger in healthy ways. I used to get so upset and so angry with my older brother. He picked on me quite a bit. And I'd get angry with him. I would get angry with the hay crimper. I would get angry at the corn picker. I would get angry at the stupid chickens. Really, anybody who kind of crossed my path or did something to me or made me upset about something, I could fly off the handle, and all of a sudden they could feel the brunt of my anger. One day in my late teens, I remember I was back over the hill. I was preparing a field of hay for baling, and the crimper had plugged for the 1,000th time, and I jumped off the tractor, and I grabbed a wrench in my hand, and I was beating that piece of equipment and just swearing at that thing, yelling up and down. If somebody would have seen me, they would have thought I was absolutely crazy. But in the middle of my tirade, you know, the thing wasn't even listening to me. The plug was still in there, and I had to clean it out after I was all done yelling. But in the middle of my tirade, I can't say that I've ever heard an audible voice from God, but God definitely revealed something to me in that field with that wrench in my hand. He asked me if what I was doing was making me feel better. It wasn't making me feel better at all. It was making me even more upset. And he asked also, he said, if somebody could see you, how do you think it would influence them? Would it have a good influence on your witness as a disciple of Christ? That hit me pretty hard. And right there in the middle of that hayfield with that wrench in my hand, I was convicted. And I made up my mind to stop swearing. And I made up my mind to have a better control of my anger. With God's help, I did stop swearing. And although my anger burned under the surface, it rarely was visible to others. From personal experience, I've found that swearing and using foul language is just a bad habit. If that's a habit that you have, I would encourage you to pray and ask God to deliver you from it, because it will have an impact on your witness for Christ. It won't always happen out in the hayfield where nobody's around. It's going to happen sometime when people are present in your workplace, or something's going to happen and you're going to say something you'll regret. And so I'd encourage you to ask God to deliver you, because I'm firsthand experience, He can do that. Spiritually, during this time of my life, I was doing pretty well. I was very involved in my youth group at church. I was elected Sunday school superintendent at age 17. Loretta and I were singing in a gospel group at the time. And after high school, I went to Bucknell to study engineering. I got involved in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. It was a great group of people. I started leading Bible studies and teaching people about Christ. Loretta and I had been dating since her freshman year of high school. I was a sophomore. She was a freshman when we started dating. So we were making plans to be married after college. And in my senior year of high school, before I went off to college, I even felt like God might be calling me into ministry. And I remember saying to Loretta, what would you say if God was calling me into ministry? And what she said was really profound. In fact, I wrote it down, and I asked her if it was an accurate quote, and she said, it's pretty much exactly what I said. I said, what would you say if God was calling me into ministry? And her response was, well, He may be calling you, but He's not calling me. So I thought, well, I must not have heard God right, so I put that idea on the shelf for a while. I graduated with a degree in mechanical engineering from Bucknell and got a great job with International Paper Company in New York and married the beautiful love of my life, Loretta. We moved to New York. Life was good. When our oldest son, Brian, was born, God worked it out so that we could transfer back to the International Paper facility in Lewisburg. Some of you will remember that facility. It's where Walmart sits today. I found I have very fond memories of working there. I enjoyed my job a lot, and I worked with a great group of people, and some of those people worship with me here at Christ Wesleyan today. Life moved on. We were blessed with two more sons, and we were very busy with work and sports and musical activities for the boys. And I sang in a barbershop quartet and a barbershop chorus, and we rehearsed a lot, and we were busy with church activities, filled our life with activity. Life was good, but we were so busy that I had essentially put God on a shelf. I had one of those compartments for God. And when I needed Him, I would kind of get Him out of the compartment. Sundays when we'd go to church, we got God out. And when we prayed with our boys at night to put them to bed, we kind of got God out. But the rest of the time, we really kind of didn't need God. And so He stayed where He was, where we were comfortable with Him staying. And he really wasn't involved too much in the rest of our life. We were going through a lot of motions that looked like God was really involved in our life. We looked like kind of people described us in that day, those days, as the perfect family. And I can tell you, it wasn't perfect. We were going to church as a family. We made sure our boys were involved in groups where the gospel was presented to them. We made sure they said their prayers. But I had drifted into a state of what I call spiritual mediocrity. I was neither hot nor cold for Christ. I was lukewarm. And you know what Jesus says about lukewarm Christians in Revelation chapter 3 in the church of Laodicea. And you know this if you like coffee or you like hot drinks. You either like it hot or some people like it cold. But when it's lukewarm, you're ready to kind of spit it back out of your mouth. And that's exactly what Jesus says. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. My anger was also not staying so much in check anymore. It wasn't under the surface. And I found myself venting my anger, especially on my sons. Something my father had done, and I had vowed that I would never do that with my boys. In 1995, my two brother-in-laws invited me, really kind of twisted my arm. Really, they kind of signed me up without me really wanting to go, and I think maybe Loretta was in cahoots with them, and they took me to a Promise Keepers rally. It was 1995 in Pittsburgh. We were not attending Christ Wesleyan then, but I know some of you guys were there because Christ Wesleyan came in with two busloads of men, and they were at that same rally. Through that rally, God gave me a look at how far I had drifted from God. Oh, on the surface, I looked like I had everything under control and I was a good servant of God, but I was far from where I had wanted to be at that point in my life. I was hit hard. It kind of took the legs right out from under me, and I was convicted of where I was in my walk with God right then. I repented. I remember kneeling down at one of those stadium seats and praying and asking God to do something different in my life. I recommitted my life to Christ at Promise Keepers that year, and I fully surrendered to God, giving Him complete control of my life. And as a result, God provided healthy ways of dealing with my anger. Oh, I still get angry, even today. You may think, oh, not Pastor Ken. Pastor Ken gets angry today. But God has provided some healthy outlets for that anger. And for the first time in my life, I felt like I was in control of my anger instead of my anger being in control of me. As a Christian, it is so important to be known for love, not our hate or not anger. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, "Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Pretty strong statement. If we don't love and we're not known for our love, we don't know God, is what he's essentially saying. Proverbs 3, 3 through 4, the verses right before the ones that are so special to me, says this, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." My wife and sons could tell you that there was a pretty significant change in me at that time, and that change was God. I had finally allowed His Holy Spirit to fill me, to take over, to clean out those areas of my life that were not fully surrendered to Him. And I can only thank God for His grace and His mercy. In 1997, we started attending Christ Wesleyan, coming out of a pretty unhealthy church situation. In 2001, Loretta started working here on staff and kind of preparing the way. In 2001, I also met with Pastor Arley and talked to him about how I thought God might be calling me into ministry. His advice was to take a step in that direction and see where God would lead. I thought and prayed hard about it, but in the end, I didn't have enough faith in God to step out and to follow Him. We had three boys who were going to be going to college pretty soon. How were we going to afford that? We had a dream of building a new home, and I was working long hours, but I liked what I did. I enjoyed my job, my career as an engineer. Life was good. Life was comfortable. So I didn't follow Pastor Arley's advice. I, one more time, put that idea on the shelf and stepped away from God's call. And then came 2002, the crisis, I call it. In January of 2002, International Paper, it was actually BVA Nonwovens at the time, we had been bought out by another company. The company announced that they were closing the plant in Lewisburg. My job was coming to an end, and even though I searched and sent out lots of resumes, there were no jobs to be found. This really hit me hard. I had been in control of my life pretty well so far, but now I had no control. How was I going to support my family? How were my sons going to get to college? And what was going to happen? I had been able to depend on my own understanding and lean on that, my own strength with respect to my job and my income. In reality, in the past, I had trusted God half-heartedly and had not leaned on God's understanding. I was leaning on my own strength. But now everything was uncertain. I needed wisdom and understanding, and I felt like I understood nothing. There was no wisdom for me in these circumstances. I didn't have it. I wasn't sure what to do. I had never been in that position before. I was using a reading plan at the time. Loretta and I were reading through the Bible in a year. And in the weeks after that announcement about the plant closing, God used His Word to give me many important messages during that time. But the one I needed the most and the one I held on to the tightest was the message in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. And I've heard from a number of people in first service said, that's my life verse too. And the verse says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Or another translation says, He will direct your paths. I was reminded, and I wrote in my journal on February 4th, 2002, about a week after the plant announcement had come out, plant closing announcement. The scripture that we had read for that day pointed out how awesome God is in looking at His creation. If God designed and created the universe in all of its vast splendor and its scientific precision that He did, if He's capable of all that, then I can trust Him completely with a simple thing like finding me a job or taking care of my family. I wrote this prayer in my journal that day. Lord, help me to fully trust and follow You. Help me, especially at this time with the loss of my job, to trust that You who made the heavens will provide for all my needs, including the direction for how best to serve You with my life. Thank You, Lord. Jesus reminded us in John chapter 14, verse 1, He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Me. Let me just share with you that we can trust God with every aspect of our life. Even when the answer to our prayer is no, we can trust Him. Let me say that again because that's hard to hear. Even when the answer from God is no, we can trust Him fully. You see, God sees the whole picture. He sees the history that we can remember. He sees our present, which we're living. And He sees our future, which we don't know and we can't see yet. But He sees it all at the same time. And so because He knows and He can see, we can trust Him to guide us and direct us in where we need to go and what decisions we need to make. Because God sees that big picture, I can trust the One who knows me, who loves me, and who sees everything that's coming my way. If I didn't think God saw everything that was coming, maybe I would have trouble trusting Him. But now that I know that God in His infinite wisdom sees what's coming my way, I can trust Him. So how did the crisis end for me? I was praying at the time that God would somehow miraculously not let the plant close. And if the plant did close, that somehow He would provide a job for me before I even had to file for unemployment. And so did he answer my prayer? Yes, he did. He said, no. I wasn't very happy at the time. That was not what I was asking for. It's not what I was praying for. But God knew that that's what I needed. The plant closed in March, and I had zero responses to the pile of resumes I had sent out. Here I was, a young engineer, lots of good experience, and nobody wanted me. However, God was working, and I sensed that God was once again calling me into ministry. So I called Pastor Arley and set up a time. I went in to meet with him. I think at this point in time, he's probably getting tired of meeting with me or talking to me, but he did. He was great. And so I shared with Pastor Arley through my prayers that maybe God was calling me into ministry. Guess what he told me? He said, I'm going to give you the same advice I did last year. Take a step in that direction and see where God might lead you. I talked with Loretta and we prayed about it. And you remember her statement the last time this happened? He might be calling you, but he's not calling me. This time her response was, if he's calling you, I'm ready to walk beside you no matter where he has us serve. You see, God used that time to prepare Loretta's heart for what he was calling us to. And he was preparing me. So this time I took Pastor Arley's advice. I registered with the Education Department of the Wesleyan Church, signed up for my first two ministerial training classes. And then in April, I got a call from a company that said, hey, we have an opening for an engineer. We'd like to interview you. It was in Hazleton, so it was a distance to drive, but it was doable. We could live at home, and the boys could finish out their schooling in the schools they were comfortable with. So I called Pastor Arley, and I said, hey, what should I do? I've got an interview. They called me and want me to come for an interview. He said, go for the interview. You got to test that water and see if that's maybe what God's calling you to do. So I did, thinking, it's not going to be the job for me. They're not going to want me. It just won't work out if God really wants me in ministry. And after my third interview, the company offered me the job. It would have been similar to my previous position, doing a lot of the same things I did before. It would have been higher pay. It would have been better benefits. And I'm thinking, that's got to be what God's answer is. That's got to be where he wants me to go. Right? God wouldn't want me to pass up a position that would be double the salary of a ministry position, right? Besides, if we took a position in ministry, I'd like to likely have to move. I would likely have to sell my house and downsize. I'd likely have to sell the truck that God just allowed me to purchase and we just allowed us to afford. And boy, I didn't want to lose my truck. I asked for the weekend to think about it and pray about it. And Sunday, April 21st, 2002 is a day that, for me, will live in infamy. It's a day I'll never forget. Loretta and I were attending a Bible study group at the time, and Pastor Bud was teaching. And that morning, we came into the room, and Pastor Bud said, we're going to take a break from the study that I've been walking through. And God just put it on my heart to share my testimony about my call into ministry. Pastor Bud had been in a very successful career in selling insurance, and he shared that morning about his call to ministry and how God provided for him as they walked through that very difficult time. And my heart was pounding in my chest as he was sharing that morning. I wish he wasn't here today. I wish he would have been here, but I need to remind him of the influence that he had on my life. That same Sunday, Pastor Steve and Yolanda Valliere announced that they were going to be leaving Christ Wesleyan to pastor a church in Florida. And they made their announcement, but they were sitting right in front of us. And sometime during the service, Yolanda turned around to me and she said, Ken, I'm not sure why I'm supposed to share this with you this morning, but here it is. You are supposed to step out of the boat. I don't know why I'm saying this, but you're just supposed to step out of the boat in faith. Does that make any sense to you? And again, my heart is just pounding in my chest. And I'm not sure I've ever actually shared that with Yolanda. Pastor Arley was sharing that Sunday morning a message based on Acts chapter 1, and I still have the sermon note sheet from that day. The disciples in Acts chapter 1 are waiting in Jerusalem because Jesus told them to wait, and he told them to do some specific things while they waited. They were to pray, and they also selected Matthias to be the one to replace Judas, so they had a full team and that they were ready to serve when God called them to. two of Pastor Arley's points that morning were, while you're waiting on God, you should pray. And while you're waiting on God, you should also prepare to serve. Again, I felt like God was speaking directly to me. One of my arguments for not entering the ministry was that at 39 years old and with no ministry experience, what significance could my ministry have? That Sunday night, Pastor Arley shared a video message by Reverend Kenneth Ulmer, and his second point in that video was that no ministry is insignificant. God uses everyone to advance his kingdom, and if God calls you, your ministry will have significance. God used all of those events that Sunday morning to confirm in my heart his call on my life. Monday morning, we gathered together, the boys and Loretta and I, and we prayed. And then I called the company and I turned down the job. My second phone call was to Pastor Arley. I said, I really need to see you. I said, I just turned down the job with this company. And he said, come on in, I want to talk to you. And so we met again. That Monday, Pastor Arley basically interviewed me for a job. 2 days later, Wednesday, he called a special board meeting and the board interviewed me for a pastoral position here. And that very next Sunday, right here at this spot, Loretta and I were being introduced as the new pastor coming on staff at Christ Wesleyan of evangelism and outreach. I had never led anybody to Christ, and here I'm going to be the pastor of evangelism at this big church. Poof, I was in ministry. I took my, praise God. I took my first two courses at Houghton College the third week of May, and I started work here at the church on May 27th. And you know what? All my fears proved to be unfounded. We didn't have to move. We didn't have to sell our house. And I didn't even have to sell my truck. God was just amazing. This year is my 16th year in ministry here at Christ Wesleyan, and all glory and honor and praise goes to God Almighty alone. The words of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 were anchors to me during my crisis. In this journey, I have learned over and over again that I can trust and that I must trust God with my whole heart. I've learned not to depend on my own understanding and my limited view of what God has planned for me. We only see a portion. God sees the whole picture. I've learned that I need to acknowledge God in all my ways, and if I do this, that He'll direct my paths. He'll tell me which step to take and where to go. How about you? I put a couple questions in your outline for you to consider. What are you facing that you need to trust God with? Are you dealing with a health issue? We had a lot of prayer requests this morning, and a lot of those are health-related concerns. Are you dealing with something like that? Are you dealing with a job loss? Are you dealing with a problem in a relationship? Are you in the middle of a crisis in your life? Let me ask you, is the God that you serve big enough to handle the issue that you're facing? Let me tell you, the God that I serve is big enough to handle anything you can throw at Him, because He was big enough to handle the stuff in my life. And I read my Bible, and He's big enough to handle the stuff in the people's lives in that Bible. He can handle whatever you're facing. Number two, what is God calling you to do? Because you see, I think He creates each of us for a specific plan and a purpose. And I think that changes over the course of our life. And so what is He calling you to do? Is He calling you to a new job? Is He calling you to speak to that neighbor or that family member or that coworker about Christ? Is it risky? Yes, it's really risky. They might reject you. They might say, don't bother me. But is it worth it? Absolutely. Is He calling you to serve in Kids Way or some other ministry here at the church? Is He calling you into full-time Christian ministry? He may be. Do you trust God enough to say yes to His call? God is patient, I can attest to that. But if God is calling you, don't do what I did. Don't delay. Say yes. He'll prepare you. He'll give you what you need. He'll give you the tools that you need to do what He's calling you to do. I have things that I have to handle this week coming up in the office, and I don't know how I'm going to handle them. But I'm trusting that God's going to give me the wisdom and the strength and the guidance to handle those things that I have to face this week coming up. Are you facing something that you need to trust God with, or is God calling you to something scary or something you need God's wisdom for? If so, stand where you are. If He's calling you to something that you say, I don't have enough faith to do it, but you need to be able to trust God with, stand where you are. I know there are some people that God's calling some to do something that you need to stand, because I just want to pray for you. Are you facing something that you need to say, I'm going to trust God with this because it's too big for me to handle? Stand where you are, because I want to pray for you. Let me close by repeating the verse that is so special to me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, many are standing this morning because they're facing something that they need to trust You with. Or they're being called to something that's bigger than them. Thank You, Lord, that we can trust You with our whole heart. Thank You that You are God Almighty. There's nothing that You can't handle. Thank You for loving us and for having a plan for each of our lives. Lord, I pray for each one who's standing this morning. They're facing things that they need to be able to trust You to handle. They're being called to do something that's out of their comfort zone. It's so good to know that we can trust You, that we can lean on You. Please direct their paths and please show them the way. Let's all stand together. Lord, as we walk through this week ahead, You're going to be calling us to do and say things that we may not feel real comfortable with. But Lord, I pray that You will make us good representatives of You this week. Lord, for those who need to make some changes in their life, give them the strength to do that. You can do it. They may not be able to, but You can do it in them. You did it with me. You've done it with others. You can do it again. And as we represent You this week, help us to do so to the very best of our ability. But Lord, more importantly, help us to lean on Your understanding as we do. Lord, I pray Your blessing upon each person that's here this morning, and especially those who stood. We ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.